Would you please turn back to Hebrews 11? And as you should have realized by now, we'll be looking particularly at verses 5 and 6 of this chapter as we consider this man, Enoch. Let me ask you a rather morbid question to start with, though. I'm sorry. Have you ever given any thought to what you'll have on your gravestone? What words you would like put on there? People are remembered for all sorts of things, aren't they? Apparently, on the tombstone of Alexander the Great, it says, "A tomb now suffices him for whom the world was not enough." A man who conquered so much of the world. Christopher Wren, who designed St. Paul's Cathedral, now lies there. And his tomb simply says this, "Reader, if you seek his monument, then look around." People like to be remembered for different things. But today we're going to consider a man who hasn't got an inscription on his tomb because there is no tomb. There is no grave. There is nowhere where his body is because, as we read in Genesis and here again in Hebrews, that here is a man who didn't die. A man who was taken. He didn't see death there in verse 5, and he was not found because God had taken him. And yet, even though there is nowhere to write his epitaph, we have this great record of this man, Enoch. There is something that that had he died and had he had a tomb that I'm sure would have been written on there. But instead, it's written down in scripture for us. That before he was taken, there, verse 5, he was commended or recorded as being one who pleased God. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, it's great, isn't it, to have on your tombstone that you built St. Paul's Cathedral, that you conquered the world. But what better thing to have on your tomb than to say that you pleased God? That you pleased God. And that is what is said of Enoch. And as we look at these verses, as we consider Enoch's life today, there's a few things that I want us to consider. Oh, it's got a life of its own. There we go. We're going to look, first of all, at Enoch's faith. Then Enoch's life and Enoch's eternity, but especially this morning, Enoch's God. Enoch's faith, Enoch's life, Enoch's eternity, and Enoch's God. There's no mistaking, is there, that this chapter is all about faith. We've got that helpful title in our English translations for us, but even if that wasn't there, that word faith comes time and time again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith there in verse 3. And then every time one of these characters are introduced, we have this opening statement, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham. By faith. And if you've not been with us for our series in Hebrews, then let me just fill you in briefly. The believers here are being tempted to go back to their old Jewish religion. They're missing out on the form and the physicality of it all. They've been used to temples and sacrifices and priests, and now all of that is gone. And there's nothing to see or touch or feel. And they want to go back to it. They want the physical things. And here the writer to the Hebrews is just reminding them, well, look, those things were just a poor picture. They were just a poor example. What was key to these believers who's gone before, who you can look back at and say, well, look at that great religious system they had in place. That wasn't key for them. What was key was their faith. What was key was their faith in God. And that's what's key here with Enoch as well, that by faith Enoch was taken up. By faith he has this epitaph, as it was, that he pleased God. Because as we look down in verse 6, the writer here expands it a little bit for us. He says, yes, Enoch has faith, but and he pleased God. And he says here, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is how he pleased God. His faith made him pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, we read here. And we saw last time that Abel, as he offered that sacrifice, God commended him by accepting his gifts there in verse 4. But we have to just be a little bit careful. If you come to and meet with us regularly, you'll know that we never preach salvation by works. You can't earn your salvation with God. We can't do things to make ourselves right with God. And there's a slight danger here that we can kind of make faith into a work. And that if we believe hard enough, if we kind of close our eyes tight enough and squeeze the belief and faith out of ourselves, then we can make ourselves pleasing to God. If we trust him enough, then he will be pleased. Is this just what Enoch did? Because he trusted so much in God, because his faith was so strong, because he was such a faithful man, then Enoch pleased God. Is that what it means when it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him? Well, no. And that's where we have to look at the whole of Scripture here. And we see that Scripture tells us time and time again that we are completely dead in our sins, that there is no spiritual life in us, let alone any faith. And as we read, and we'll be looking tonight again in Ephesians, we have this great verse here that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this isn't from yourselves. This isn't something that you can do yourself. This isn't something you conjure up yourself or work at yourself. Faith itself is a gift from God. We must be careful here not to make faith itself the thing that Enoch had, and therefore he pleased God. Rather, we need to think of it like this, that God gave Enoch faith, and because of that, he was then able to please God. It wasn't Enoch's faith that pleased God. God had given that to Enoch. God granted faith to Enoch, and because of that, Enoch was then able to please God. Everything that Enoch has, his faith is a gift from God. That's why we see in Scripture as people cry out and they pray for faith. The apostles in Luke 17 cried out to Jesus and said, Jesus, increase our faith. It is something that God gives. It is a gift from him. And before we go any further, before we read any more of Hebrews 11 and carry on in this series, if you're sat there this morning thinking, well, you know, this is great, and it's lovely to hear of these people of old, and it's great for you Christians sat here, but I just can't believe it. I haven't got enough faith to believe that this is true. I haven't got enough faith to believe that Jesus is a Savior, that he could save me. And Scripture says quite clearly, pray, ask for God to grant you faith. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks you for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask, and it will be given. That good gift from God. If your faith is feeling weak, then ask that it would be strengthened. Pray like those disciples that he would increase your faith. But what is it that Enoch had faith to do? As I was preparing for today, there was a little bit of me that felt like I'd got kind of the wrong character. That as you look at Abel, you can see what he did. You know, he went and offered this sacrifice. As we go down through the rest of the chapter, you can see Noah, well, his faith made him build a great big boat. And Abraham, he had faith to go and live in a tent. I know Paul hasn't got faith to do that. He hates tents, but that's what Abraham did. He left everything and went off in his tent, left everything behind. And we can see great things that these people did in faith. But what is it that Enoch did? He didn't build anything. He didn't make anything. What is it that he did? What is he commended for? Well, it's these two things that I mentioned earlier. First of all, what he did in his life, and then what he did in his not death, if I can call it that. So first of all, in Enoch's life, we've got here that Enoch, in verse 6, we're told that he pleased God, that he had faith to please him. And then it carries on with this statement, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Enoch has this great epitaph that he pleased God, that he walked with God. And that's what he did in his faith. He didn't build a boat. He didn't go and live in a tent. He walked with God. He believed, first of all, that God was real. And then, as that verse goes on, that he rewards those who seek him. Let me just unpick that a little bit. Imagine what it must have been like in Enoch's day. Adam was alive for the majority of Enoch's life. So the account of what had happened in the Garden of Eden would have been able to be heard firsthand. How Adam and Eve had been cast out of the garden, how they'd sinned against God and just been thrown out. We heard of Cain and Abel last week, and people would have known of what had happened to Cain. That he killed his brother and then he sent from the presence of God. That he's made a wanderer on the earth. But has any more been heard from God? This is a God who's thrown people out of the garden. This is a God who sent Cain off to wander. I'm sure that people at that time would have said, well, this God we've not seen or heard from him in all these hundreds of years, well, perhaps he's just left us. Perhaps this God doesn't want any more to do with us. Perhaps he's just gone away and this is us and this is now and this is all there is. There's no more Garden of Eden. There's no more walking in the garden with God. But despite all of that, Enoch still believed. He believed that God was true, that God was real. And not only that, that there was a way to be right with God, that God would reward those who seek him. As God grants faith and Enoch there believes in God, he also thinks, well, hang on, I can be accepted by God. God is going to make this possible. Yes, he's thrown Adam and Eve out of the garden. Yes, Cain's been sent off and we're here in this world and our relationship with God is spoiled. But he believed that there was a way to be right with God. And it wasn't going to be anything that he did. It would be on God's terms. Enoch had faith to believe that God existed and that God would reward those who sought him. And as I've pondered these verses over this past week or so, I kind of changed my mind and I didn't regret not having someone like Noah building boats and someone like Abraham in his tent. Because for so many of us, we won't be called by faith to do great deeds and acts like that. I won't be called to save all humanity with my carpentry skills like Noah was. I won't be called to leave homes behind and live in a tent. So many of us will be called just to do what Enoch did. And that's just to walk, to have faith in God that we can know that he is true and that we can be accepted by him. Maybe not great in the eyes of so many, but surely what is important here is that he pleased God. Not that he pleased those around him, but that he pleased God as he sought after him and as he walked with him. And it's not just Enoch's life that shows his faith. It's his eternity as well. I can't call it his death, can I? Because he didn't die. But his eternity. And there was a quote that first drew my attention to Enoch when I studied him a few years ago. And it's from Andrew Bonner. It says this, that he suggests that God and Enoch were in the habit of walking and talking daily. And one day God said to his companion, "You have come so far each day of our long pilgrimage together. Now come all the way home with me." Thus he was not, for God took him. And that's a nice picture. It implies, you know, God, that Enoch was so close to God that he just one day didn't go back to his home. He just carried on with God and was taken. But I don't think that's really what Hebrews suggests is the case here. It says that for Enoch to be taken, it was a huge act of faith. If we consider, not many people had actually died at this point in human history. Adam, like I said, only died about 27 years before Enoch was taken. People were living much longer than they do now. There hadn't been much death. And without that kind of background, here, Enoch, when he's only seen a few generations before him pass away, is now faced with this prospect of him not dying but being taken by God. Enoch had faith for his life, but he had faith for his eternity as well. He trusted God when God said, come home with me. That took a huge step of faith. That God was going to accept him, that God was going to take him with him. It reminds me a little of that C.S. Lewis story that in the Chronicles of Narnia, I think it's the Prince Caspian story, isn't it? When the children and the other humans have been there in Narnia and they're given a chance at the end to go back into the human world. And Aslan, the lion, who's a picture of Christ, he builds this gateway and gives people an opportunity to return home. And people don't want to. They don't know whether to trust Aslan. They think he's going to take them off to his den and eat them. They don't know whether to trust. They don't know what's beyond that doorway. And here for Enoch, he's there and he's got this opportunity. And we're told that it's by faith that Enoch was taken up. He trusted God to take him. And so he was not. And he wasn't found because God took him. Enoch had faith in life and for his eternity. And is that not what we're called to do as well? That we should have faith that God is true, that we can seek him, that we can be accepted by him, but that also our eternity is in his hands. That when he says he can grant eternal life, that he can. When he says that it is his gift to give, that we believe that. When he says that it's something that we can't work out ourselves, that we believe that too. in a way, we're in such a easier position than Enoch, aren't we? Enoch didn't have anyone to look back at and see what they had done. He didn't see how their lives had worked out. But we can look back all through Scripture. We can see the lives of these men and women of faith who have proved God to be true. Who have proved that he doesn't break his promises in life and that he doesn't break his promises in death either. What a great character Enoch is. What great lessons we can learn as we look at him. But this shouldn't really be about Enoch, should it? Because for all that happened in his life, Enoch isn't really the key character. It's God. It's God. Because if Enoch's faith hadn't have been in God, then all of this would have been in vain. If Enoch didn't have faith that God was who he said he was, and if God wasn't actually who he said he was, then this would all be pointless. And we need to remind ourselves here that as we look at these great characters of history, as we see what happens in their lives, that we look not at them, but we look at the God who they had faith in. And God himself says that he doesn't change. The God that Enoch had faith in is the same God that we have today. And so we can trust, like Enoch did, that God is true, that he is real. And we can trust, as Enoch did, that we can be acceptable. And you know, Enoch, he had to do this without seeing anything. We have that great verse at the beginning, don't we? That faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He wouldn't have known how he could be acceptable before God. He had to trust. He had to have faith. All he'd seen was people like Adam and Eve and Cain being sent out of God's presence. How could sinners be acceptable before God? He had to have faith in something he hadn't yet seen. And as Enoch looked forward and all these other heroes look forward, and we're reminded at the end of this chapter that all these, verse 39, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. They didn't see it. It didn't get fulfilled in their lifetimes. They were always looking forward to what God was promising. We, by faith now, have to look back. They looked forward to what was coming. We now look back. And we look back to the cross of Calvary. Because there we can see how God was going to make this all possible. There we can see that God, even though he is holy and just and perfect, even though we all deserve to be driven out of his presence because of our sin, even though he was perfectly right to do that with Adam and Eve, even though he was perfectly right to do that with Cain, even though Enoch deserved it, that God was making a way so that people could seek him, so that people could be rewarded by knowing him, that they could have faith and that they could please God with their lives. But not because he stands there and looks at what they've done, but because of Jesus. Because there on the cross, Jesus takes all of our sin, all of our guilt, and he is punished instead of us. So that when God looks, he sees Christ's righteousness on us, and not our own sin. Jesus lived that perfect life that we cannot ever hope to live. God declared, didn't he, at the beginning of his ministry, as the heavens opened, he said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." It's because of what Jesus did that Enoch was able to be accepted. Because this price has been paid. Because Jesus has paid it. Because his righteousness now covers his people. Because of that, we can be accepted. Because of that, because of Jesus, we can please God. So let us this morning, as we consider this great hero of the faith, as being encouraged by him that he's remembered not for great one-off acts, but that because he lived a life of faith, because he trusted God with his eternity. But let us remember more than all of that who the object of Enoch's faith is. A God who does not change. A God who gave his very own son so that we could be accepted, so that our sin could be paid for, so that we can stand in his righteousness. And that we have a God who gives faith to those who ask for it. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe he exists and rewards those who seek him. Oh, to God be all the praise and glory. Amen.